You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
It is 7.5 minutes past the hour. Welcome in to a brand new hour on a brand new day, on a brand new week in Rick and Bubba history. Tax day today. Yep. We'll walk through that together today. Three on a string. They have been tax day. I mean, I'm talking about solidified right there, a norm, and they'll be here again today. To sing the tax song and also just pick a little for us today. Charity Charge is back today at participating Buffalo Wild Wings locations, all those in Alabama. Today, 10% of those food sales at participating locations go to Beckett's Blessings. That is a great organization, and so you go out and enjoy some great food today at participating locations and help a great cause at the same time. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy, Eddie Van Adler all here. Super Tom, the engineer, is here preparing for Three on the Strings performance coming up. But we're missing one, the silver tongue one, the man with the golden voice, professional lunch eaters, man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and a master at a king's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Busted!
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome into another edition of Rick and Bubba.
Having fun, so let it whip.
Oh, let it whip. Oh, buddy. When I spun that at the Silver Dollar at the Teen Club, good Ooh, gracious, in the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Good. You think that floor didn't pack?
It's a good one.
I mean, that's one of the best ones of all time right there in the dance category. So we do have a lot to cover, as I mentioned on the show today. We do have Tax Day. We once again want to come through for those of you that may be having a tax burden today. If you are writing the biggest check to the federal government today, this is in addition to what you've already paid or however you pay your taxes. The biggest check to the government today, we will help you with that burden with a crisp $100 bill.
There you go.
$100.
There you go.
So that's just our way.
Just to help.
Just our way to help.
And our way of saying thanks.
That's right. So
for all you've done for us, the taxpayers.
So we will. You can start probably since we don't really have anybody on the phones like just all the time. It might be best just have them email.
And that's kind of what we went to last year. They just emailed me, and I kind of shifted through them. And then sometimes we'd get a phone call, but we'll get through it.
So yes, why don't you email that check? Because a lot of you need to get us that information on your schedule, not wait around on ours. And we got a pretty active show today, so just email speedy@rickandbubba.com the amount you're going to be handing off to the federal government today. If your check is the biggest. $100, and we'll keep you updated on what is the biggest. So if you're not in that category, you don't waste time with that once we get established. But
yeah, it'll be a moving target today.
Moving target.
And it has had wide ranges over the years.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. It has.
Some have been very hefty.
I've already emailed Speedy, and I am currently leading. So anyway, boy, it was a little ouch this year.
Whip it, baby.
So, but the good news is the government has spent our money so well, we should be thrilled.
Right.
So
that's so true.
Yeah. Don't they do a good? Aren't they good stewards of it?
No, sure. Boy.
So I'm probably funding the mating habits of the monarch butterfly today. So we'll see.
No telling.
Or for them to, you know, they'll come up with something that they did a study and found out that males and females actually aren't
what?
Interchangeable.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. But anyway, so we've got that today. So send those to Speedy. I told you we have a charity charge today. Rick and Bubba University, the podcast dropped over the weekend. Mike Waller. The book, Big Intel, How the CIA and the FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. That was a really troubling conversation, but an enlightening conversation. If you haven't caught that yet, wherever you get podcasts, look for that. And, of course, Bubba, a lot to discuss from the weekend, including Israel. That was that became a big story over the weekend as Iran launched drones and missiles at Israel. The combination of Israel, the United States, and I believe the Brits were able to take down almost all of them. But it was serious. Matter of fact, you know,
have you seen some of the pictures of the missiles on the beaches?
My O's, Israel. Look, they sent us a picture. Matter of fact, here is one. And that's now. So when you're talking about missiles,
pretty big piece of metal coming through there.
You start thinking to yourself, well, was it any big deal? There's one of the missiles right there. We're showing a picture of it. That's your big boy right there.
Wow.
And the embarrassing part of this is that the president did not address the nation. They was talk of him recording a message, but again, he was unable to get on TV live and address the American people.
100% right, because this happened unplanned.
Yeah, so they couldn't get his meds, you know, ramped up ahead of time like they do normally.
How else were you supposed to interpret this? That he can't go off something that they didn't know about and actually address it?
Well, I mean, Rick, it's clear.
Right.
I mean, they pump him up for the events they have to have him at.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been through this. We've seen it. This is no mystery.
You're right.
I can't believe we're at this point. You know, it's just...
Well, whoever is running the country also doubles down on embarrassment and is saying that we'll be no part of a retaliation, and we're telling Netanyahu he shouldn't retaliate. And that's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's embarrassing.
Well,
so whoever puts those statements out, that's an embarrassing statement.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's go back. Let's just make an assumption here. Let's just play the game. If we think that Obama is still running the White House and he's still pushing for this, you know, all along he wanted a weaker Israel in the Middle East. Remember, he worked toward that.
Yeah.
So he didn't want them taken over, but he wanted a weaker Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this would kind of play down that same way. But, you know, the Iranians have been a problem in their behavior ever since their revolution back in the 70s. Started with Jimmy Carter, started with taking hostages, all that stuff. And, you know, this is the first time they've directly attacked Israel. And I think that Israel needs to respond. Now, I tend to be a bit hawkish on these things because I think that's actually gets results.
Yeah. You're talking about what peace always follows?
Yeah, because in a few years, Iran is going to be nuclear. And you'll have very limited options. You can't go in there and stop them. You can't go in there and damage their facilities. You can't go break all their toys like we did with Operation Praying Mantis. You know, they were shut down for a decade. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear nothing from them because they didn't have anything to work with.
Right.
And that was courtesy of the U.S. military.
Yes, it was. So there you go. And that, you know, that was a huge story over the weekend. And Netanyahu has said all along, and he's been very consistent, we will respond and we will not let it go, and we will do what we have to do to break people's will to continue this, whether we're in it or not. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so I will tell you one of the things where we live, which is in Sweet Home, Alabama. It was an absolute gorgeous weekend, and looking at the plants and the trees that are flourishing right now, it is a beautiful time of year where we live. And the reason why, I mean, Sherry even came in. She goes, I didn't even realize this was going to look as nice as it looked. And she brought some flowers in, put them in a vase, or as Bubba's taught me to say, a vase. And anyway, so the fast-growing trees, when you're dealing with them, they're going to make sure that they ship you plants, you know, trees that actually will thrive where you live. I mean, you can't just go on, you know, go to some place or go online and order something and not take into account, you know, your climate, where you live. So you always have access to plant experts. You don't have to have a green thumb Okay, they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and also the space. They want to know where the plant's going to go. Fast-growing trees make it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. Along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer, well, I was talking about, free plant consultation forever. And just watching this thrive, people might even think you knew it. It's okay. They don't have to have credit. But if you want to put them to work for you now, great offer, okay? So go get the best deals, half off selected plants and other deals. And because you're watching this show or listening to this show, you get an additional 15% off the first purchase when you use the code Bubba at checkout. That's an additional 15%, okay? So go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use the code Bubba, fastgrowingtrees.com, the code Bubba. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Over the weekend were the drones and missiles from Iran trying to hit Israel. There's all kinds of discussion about that. I thought Bubba hit on the big one from us, and that is that our president was not able to respond because it wasn't expected and planned. That should be concerning. Got a big election coming up, by the way. So anyway, but now it is what should be done. And Speedy was talking about even some, you know, there's some theories out there that Iran needed to save face and look like they were doing something. But they did something that they thought that Israel and her allies could easily shoot down and protect themselves. So they get to act like that they did some sort of attack, and then Israel wasn't really harmed, so no harm, no foul. Let's all go back to our corners. I don't know if that's true or not. It is. I do know that if you are, you know, you can't ignore, you know, if somebody says publicly they want to kill me and they wish I wasn't on the planet, and then every time I go to my truck they shoot at me, I tend to think, I bet they're trying to shoot me. Mm-hmm. You know, and
yeah, I get the feeling, right, they don't really like me.
Right. And they keep coming back and going, we're missing on purpose. Yeah, but you keep telling everybody you want to kill me. Yeah. And you're shooting at me.
Yeah.
So if you know they've got a formula that you know, that looks kind of odd. And I think the point that you made is the one everybody's been talking about, and it's true if you have any sense. The only reason why Iran has not annihilated Israel and the West, if they could, is because they don't have the weapons to do it yet.
And they're working to get them.
So why would we sit around and wait for them to get what they need to do what they say they want to do?
I mean, they're building these nuclear facilities. They're trying to spin up their own yellow cake uranium as we speak. And it's just a matter of time. Do they have some type of crude nuclear weapon?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like North Korea. I mean, we have to deal with them differently because they do have some crude nuclear weapons now.
Well,
and what if you get an Iran that has nuclear weapons and they're still firing at Israel? What do you do then?
Yeah, you mentioned it, talking about Obama, if he truly is still running the country in one way, shape, or form. I know this man that we have parading around as a mascot isn't, but if it is, because of just common sense, I mean, but if Obama still is, you remember we always talked about this when you mentioned a weaker Israel, when he would deal with people like Iran, either he was maniacally deviant and had some bizarre worldview that was dangerous to us, or he was incredibly naive and not very wise. Because this notion that if somebody says, I want to kill you and I want to kill whoever represents your life, that would be Israel, and you say, okay, instead of me saying I'm not going to let you do that, I'm going to make it unable for you to do this, what if I gave you the money so you could get everything you needed to do that? Would that make you like me and then you wouldn't do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was really our policy.
Well, you remember we gave them, what, how many billions of dollars we had frozen,
right,
over all their past things they'd been up to. And, you know, I guess the people thought, well, this will buy peace. Well, no, it's only bought more because they went out and bought weapons.
But think about the lunacy. What you're really saying is the people said, I would kill you if I had the money or the weapons to do it. And we said, well, if we give you the money so you can get the weapons to do it, will you just not do it because that was nice of us? Do you realize how stupid that is?
I don't know what the
enemies don't see that as kindness. They see that as weakness.
No, and we've had to, as I mentioned, we had Operation Praying Mantis once upon a time.
And it worked.
We went and broke all their stuff.
And it worked.
It took them a while to rebuild. So, but you'll have to deal with it again. I mean, they've been this way since the 70s, since they overthrew the Shah and went back to, this form of government they have now. And this is old Persia, by the way. They're not, as we've been educated, these are not Arabs by the typical name. They are Persians. They are separate. And it's the old Persian Mede Empire, you know.
Yeah, so
they've been around a long time.
And I have had some people that were kind of in the camp, what Speedy was talking about off air, that are military experts that says that Praying Mantis was so effective that Iran wants to walk a line that they don't have that happen to them again. Now, apparently, they've picked the right administration because this administration is saying we wouldn't do Praying Mantis if our life depended on it, you know, or whatever it'd be called this time. But you know what I mean? There'll be no response from us. I love telling them there'll be no response from us. Hey, great. That's awesome. Yeah. And then encouraging who they attack not to respond either. Can you imagine somebody walking or calling you on the phone because we wouldn't come there and your house is being bombed and they said, no, I'd rather you not shoot back? That's great for you, but I mean, we're right here. Did you see the pictures of the beach?
Well,
ruined our beach afternoon. There's a missile laying out there.
Yeah, and not only there, you know, in the Strait of Hormuz over there, 20% of our oil goes through there every day, and it's been a problem. I mean, they grabbed a ship Saturday too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that, and that's constantly been a problem over there. So you know. We're going to have to deal with this one way or the other. It's just when and how and most effective way to do it. They don't seek peace. They don't want peace. That's not going to happen. You can't give them money and they'll quit. Mm-mm. You can't give them this or that. They're gonna keep going. And then when they get a nuclear weapon, they'll use it.
Well,
then what are we going to do?
Well, like we said, when you give them money, all they say is our narrative hasn't changed, but thank you. That'll help.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
they probably laughed all the way home.
Oh, of course they did. Well, y'all probably had the same experience. A lot of families at church yesterday were saying, "Hey, our sons are being alerted, and some are on ships headed out there." So we do have a presence there, and just about everybody that we go to church with that have sons that are serving in the military. They said, "Hey, they all went on alert, and some of them are headed out."
Yeah, and, I know the U.S. helped to shoot some of that down, but I really haven't heard any details what ships were involved how they did it. I mean, Israel has the Iron Dome, which is – they actually have three levels of defense.
I love David Sling.
David Sling is the second is the deeper level. Then they've got one more past it. I can't remember the name of it either. David Sling, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
So, yeah, I don't know how much damage was actually done. I don't know if it was meant to be more symbolic or not. But, the fact that they would do it.
Well, to me, where they're naive, especially with Netanyahu, is it's like me saying that guy over there is my enemy, and everybody thinks I'm scared of him. I'm going to go punch him, but I promise I won't punch him hard.
Maybe
he won't punch me back.
Right. Yeah. Probably means that they'll come again next time.
I don't think I'd count on that, would you?
No, bullies usually don't quit. Rick, I don't know if you caught any of it yesterday, but I had a good time watching. I know that y'all said so bad. Watching the end of the Masters yesterday after they had some crazy weather earlier in the week. Had a beautiful day yesterday, and Scottie Scheffler pulled out the win. And he's a crowd favorite, and it was fun to watch.
Are you mad because the Cajun didn't win?
Which one?
DeChambeau, ain't that your
guy?
If he's not a Cajun, he ought to be.
Well, he's from Oklahoma.
He's not Cajun?
No.
That's funny.
How can you be named that and not be
family,
Cajun?
Family name.
It's kind of like Jeff Lopez.
Well, he's quite a character. And I love his innovations. He actually came to the tournament with irons that were illegal
and they were they judged him to be legal before he started, right?
Yeah, right before they started.
And then he goes out and gets a big lead, you know. So, but he fell off toward the end a little bit. But
he's
always fun.
Let me tell you what's funny. If y'all could literally hear my conversations, and God love Helmsy and Speedy, they finally have just given up on trying to discuss golf with me because they don't want to be frustrated. But this is how it literally goes with me. Okay. Hey, would you hear who won the Masters? I said, okay, who was it? Was it the Cajun guy? And they're like, Cajun guy? I said, the guy Bubba likes has a Cajun name. And
they
said,
that was what you gave him.
Yeah. Now, I do have his clubs that are all the same.
But then
length.
Listen to this.
And I don't never use them, but I got them.
So here it is. This was my next line. This was all, you know, this was all after yesterday, after whatever. And I said, all right, was it Tiger Woods? And they said, no, Tiger made the cut, but he didn't win, which was a huge accomplishment. And I said, okay, was it the guy who loves Jesus? They said, yeah, that's the guy who won.
That's it.
Hey, that's it. That's
I didn't know his name. I just said, the guy loves Jesus.
That's it.
And, I think Tiger finished 60th, wasn't it?
He was, didn't I see him at 60? I think he was actually the last of the guys that made the cut.
Yeah.
It's big accomplishment.
A huge accomplishment. Is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Greg, don't be like that.
Yeah. No, it really is.
And there was some special, and Greg makes fun of this. There was some special moments. We have come to the conclusion, or I have. Speedy's there, too. He's finally at a point where he's okay with just being out there instead of thinking he's going to win.
Right.
And there was something happening Sunday morning that was pretty special with him and his son on the driving range.
Oh, I heard you talking about that.
And it was one of those things where it made you think, okay, this is why he's still doing this. Yeah. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to be putting himself through this. But his son, who during COVID started really getting into golf, and so and he's a really good player, and now he's able to be, you know, if I'm Tiger Woods, first of all, and I can go to the Masters anytime I want to, why wouldn't I go and let my son experience this and be on the grounds with me? And, and so I think that's what this is about more than anything at this point.
Does he scream at him like Tiger's dad did him?
Oh, great.
I don't know. But his son's name is Charlie, though.
Yeah.
There's a story that y'all have.
The Joe Jackson of golf.
If you'll flip to like page 3 of the story that you have, there was a meme that started out past weekend where he went to shake a man's hand, but the man was behind the pine tree, so it looks like the pine tree shaking his hand. It's pretty funny.
Rick, him trees on puff and stuff.
It's pretty funny.
I forgot. I was scared. I was terrified of those trees. I heard y'all talking about that.
It's hilarious.
But I will tell you this, and I guess
was that Vern? Somebody tell me that was Vern. That Lunk was behind was, the tree.
It's as big as Vern.
No, that's not Vern.
I don't think it is.
Would he have been in the booth?
You know,
somewhere?
It may have been.
I don't think that.
Or
was
maybe
Vern.
Vern.
Now I will say there was a. Now that it could be, but there was a special moment where he did go up to Vern and tell him thank you for everything.
You think
it was
that?
Vern.
Did I just see a cane?
I don't know.
Was that a cane? Yes. It was Vern.
Vern was on the 16th, so I don't know if he was broadcasting behind a tree, but it might have been.
Or in this case, maybe it was.
It might have been.
Hey, Rick, that's good.
Look, check the watch.
I got it,
see
Rick.
If you can identify that watch.
It looks like a lady's watch, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Well, she's got big old forearms. He needs your glasses to go with it.
Yeah. It could have been.
Who's that, Ricky Tidwell's mama?
It could have been. Okay. Been Vern's wife.
She didn't have forearms like that.
Well, I've never seen Vern. I've never seen her forearms.
She
have you seen her
out
forearms?
Do reverse curls.
She was her all. Who was that? Raised on the farm. And there, right tattooed on her forearm.
That looked more like Steve Garvey.
Yeah. And does it say it's Vern in the story, Bob?
Yeah. I don't know. Sure Somebody does. Told me that. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, it's Vern.
It's Vern.
It's Vern.
You're right.
All right. So now Vern has tiny little
look,
forearms.
It is Vern. Yeah,
no, it's
Vern.
Not.
That's
a different.
Listen,
that was not
that's
Vern.
Woods was shaking hands with legendary U.S. commentator Vern Lundquist, who was set to hang up his mic after this match.
Okay.
That's who it was.
I do know he went over to him and said thank you for everything.
Was Vern broadcasting from the tree? What is he doing?
I don't know what happened
there. Yes, Greg, that's where they put him now.
Rick. No. Buddy. Hey, he was at the forefront.
You need to calm down.
It was great. It was great going down memory lane with Vern Lundquist.
It soon became clear. Okay. That's who he was shaking hands with. Everybody knows.
That's good. So, but it looked like he was shaking hands with a tree is what it was.
Shaking hands with danger.
Or as I told Greg, in this case, it would have been Fern Lundquist.
Okay, Rick. There he goes.
That's good.
Somebody said, is it a woman? The forearms like Vern's got.
You going to say a man wears that watch?
Well, now see, now you're being mean about.
Yeah, well, look at the.
Is that a man's watch? That is like a woman's watch.
Hey, is that a man's watch?
Is this
watch?
Two different handshakes we're looking at?
It could be. Was Helms that picture with, a few minutes ago legit from this year? Because that was Vern, but it wasn't by the tree.
See, that's a okay. There's a second hand that was on the left hand.
That is a woman.
It was Vern.
Everybody in here owes me an apology.
That's Vern.
Me now.
Hold on.
That's not a woman, y'all. That's not a woman.
And then a woman's hand comes out, right?
Now he was with
a different person.
No, I think it's the same.
Oh my gracious!
I think it's both.
Call Howard and ask
him. All right, let's see the picture of him shaking hands with Vern. See if we can identify that arm and that watch.
Yeah, maybe there's another picture. He's not behind the tree.
Yeah, well, that was the other one.
Well, yeah,
he told him he had to leave and go straight to Charlie.
I'm getting a bunch of texts saying it was Vern.
Yeah,
now, again,
there were a skinny arm.
There were a couple of times when
you need to see the other arm.
What about that ring he's wearing? He always wears that ring.
There was a couple of times on the broadcast where they would go to him on the 16th and he'd go, "I'm behind the tree right now. I can't see.
A big pine tree.
I can't really see."
You know, one fell last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what are we going to do with Vern at this? Put him behind that pine tree.
Yeah. Give him a mic. Set him behind that pine
tree. You know what he's doing next?
What?
He's about to start calling games at Jacksonville State.
Look, there's the ring.
That's Vern.
That is Vern. That's Vern. He wears the ladies behind the tree.
If he's doing Jack State.
You're not giving me enough of that.
Oh, wait. I think
that was a good one.
Fantastic. I mean, we needed, owe you an apology.
That was a good one, honest, but we were hung up in the ring. We needed a minute.
It looks like a female watch. It's an elderly man's watch. You know, they'll wear those.
You don't know.
And think about it.
You know,
Tiger's not going to stop and give a full handshake to just anybody. It had to be somebody of some type of
significance.
Yes, don't you agree?
Yep, I agree.
Because he ain't known for his overwhelming personality.
No.
And listen,
if you want to hear the story behind the handshake, RBU with Vern, he explains a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories to some of his more famous calls.
Not this one.
No, great. I mean, the call that he made for Tiger, didn't he discuss that?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be great calling Jacksonville State softball game.
Adler.
Helmsy,
that's
later.
Gold.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Let me tell you something. We have one thing, Speedy. I need from you. Where will everybody be?
It should be the mix.
Because I looked for that familiar, and I don't see it. Is this it right here? Mm-hmm. Okay, testing 1, 2. Okay. So we have Super Tom, the engineer, here today. It has been a tradition, and Brad Ryan is here with the Hall of Fame Three on the String, along with Andy McGinnis and Bobby Horton. So, Brad, we were trying. I know Rick and Bubba history pretty well because you're such a part of it. There you go. Have y'all done this pretty much all 30 years? Is this your 31st time to do this?
As far as I could remember.
Okay. So
if it wasn't, it's got to be 28, 29.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it started early.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, we came up here 2 or 3 years ago promoting our Still Kicking tour. Now I hear Rick and Bubba has a 30 years and still kicking.
Well, coincidence?
Coincidence.
I think not. By the way, thank y'all for the shout out. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't do that last night for the show.
We didn't know you were there until the break.
Had a little more show left. Huh?
I didn't have a whole lot of mic time.
You didn't acknowledge Rick, Brad. Right. You know better than that. You have to acknowledge the Rick.
Bobby had more mic time than I did.
I had a mic sitting there, but I was waiting on Brad to do it.
And everybody was in the audience saying, "I know Rick Burgess. I know him better than you know him."
Yeah, I tried to explain y'all's entire history, whispering down the row, and I'm sorry about that to everybody who was sitting behind us and the woman in front of
during
us
during the show
who turned around. I was on row 2 though, so I only offended a few folks. So you got an amazing show last night, but we're talking now about the amazing Three on the String Hall of Famers. So. I think we have to, don't you, to jump right into the tax
zone. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is the day.
I think we have to do this.
And we all feel very good about the way the government's spending it.
Aren't they good stewards? Aren't they good stewards? I mean, and Brad, you will take the mic and sing the tax song. I know just like a lot of us, you know, as far as, you know, as we, you know, dealing with it with our parents aging and stuff like that. I mean, I know that your dad is, it's a very similar road that we've been on, and we're praying for all of you guys. Oh, and just
And Jerry's doing well, by the way, for all those listening out there. Yeah. Wanted to be here today, but, you know, things happen.
Yeah. So
it's quite early.
Yes, it is. And so here is Brad.
The thing about him is he's kind of semi-retired, but we have to keep reminding him.
Right, yeah. Semi-retired. Yeah, I made the mistake of asking if he's retired. I won't do that again. So here's the Hall of Famers themselves, three on the string with the tax on.
I pay another man to do my taxes,
yes,
because that's one more deduction that I could take. But this year they brought the W-2 and they've taken about a third of everything I make. And I'm just as patriotic as the next man. And you know I love that red, white, and blue. And I'm gonna help to pay this rising cost of freedom. But I'll be danged if I'm gonna change my point of view.
Cause every time them bureaucrats run out of money, Congress socks it to the working man.
And I don't think it's one bit funny when they take so much of my money and do things with it I don't understand.
I don't understand.
And I don't know why they think they gotta squeeze us, but I'll tell you just exactly where I stand.
I believe if 10% is good enough for Jesus, it ought to be enough for Uncle Sam.
Somebody say amen.
Let's go, amen. Go, Bobby!
And all them folks we keep on sending off to Congress.
Oh, buddy.
They think all they're supposed to do is spend and spend and spend and spend. It's hard to run a family, much less a country, with more money going out than coming in. And the debt, it just keeps on getting bigger.
Bubba, it's out of control.
We all gonna have to pay so we can't laugh. One day you're gonna look down at your paycheck.
Yep.
Wow. Now they done started taking half.
We're there.
Every time the bureaucrats run out of money, Congress socks it to the working man.
I don't think it's one bit funny when they take so much of my money, do things with it I don't understand.
I don't understand.
And I don't know why they think they gotta squeeze it.
Come on.
But I'll tell you exactly where I stand.
Everybody together.
If 10% is good enough for Jesus, it ought to be enough for Uncle Sam.
Take it home.
If 10% is good enough for Jesus, it ought to be enough for Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Hall of Famers, Bubba.
I think you got to update that song and start with "They're Taking Half."
Yeah. So, Brad, now it's freelance. Y'all can just jam.
You know, on the way up, I had this idea. What if Rock and Roll City joined us?
No.
What do you think? I mean,
you talking about a hybrid?
Yeah.
The ones playing are the same ones putting you on the air.
Well, that's
right?
True. that'll be tough.
Well, right. Maybe we'll play this song and Bobby will play the jug.
Okay.
And Rock and Roll City can listen.
Okay.
Next time we come up, hybrid.
Hello, future album.
Way down south in Memphis, Tennessee, jug band music sounds sweet to me. Sounds so sweet.
Go three.
And it's hard to beat. Our jug band music certainly was a treat to me. Well, I run home, turn on the radio. Jug band music made me stomp the floor. It sounds so sweet. Hard to beat. Jug band music certainly was a treat to me.
Play it, Bobby!
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bobby Horton.
Bobby Horton on the dobro!
I took off my socks, I took off my shoes, I jump all around to them jug band blues. It sounds so sweet, and it's hard to beat. Our jug band music certainly was a treat to me.
Can you do it, Bubba?
Bubba.
All the stops, here we go.
I'm not getting the volume I need here. I didn't practice that enough.
All right, Bobby, show him how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, Bobby, show him how to do it, Bobby.
Here we go.
I think it's out of tune.
Oh.
Bobby, jug band.
Oh, Bobby.
I went to my gal, I put my hand on her knee.
Hey.
I said, if you don't play the jug, you can't play with me. It sounds so sweet, and it's hard to beat. Yeah, jug band music certainly was a treat. Jug band music certainly was a treat. Jug band music certainly was a treat to me.
Yeah! If you ever wondered why they're in the Hall of Fame, listen to that jug. We'll come back.
What was in that initially?
Live from the Big Boy stage.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Always fun.
Yeah. Three. Are we done?
Can we borrow some money to pay our taxes?
Can y'all jam a little more?
Oh, yeah. Can we jam one?
We got to do one
more. We're counting on you being the house band the rest of the day.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So we want Three on a String to stay, at least to give us one more segment. Now we're just kind of moving into an all-out jam session. So it's
player's choice.
Yeah, player's choice. Y'all have done some classics over the years.
It's business.
All right. So which one are you going to do? You think? I mean, you got
gospel song.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. I see Bobby's got the trumpet. Should I be concerned?
No.
Okay, here we go. All right, here we go.
It's not on record.
The battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to walk and talk with you, tell you what Joshua done. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Well, they tell me, great God, that Joshua's spear was near about 12 feet long. On his hip, a double-edged sword, in his mouth, a gospel horn. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
Come on.
So up to the walls of Jericho, they marched with spears in hand. Come blow your ram's horn, Joshua cried, the battle is in our hand. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. And the walls come tumbling down. And the walls come tumbling down.
Go Three. Hey, get your threes up. Go Three.
Let's hear it, Jerry.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah, right there. That's it. All right, here we go. All right. So, oh. So, Brad, you're going to stand up, face away from Andy. Andy going acoustic?
If we may send out a sentimental song to the Rick Bubba, the whole Rick Bubba family.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. This is a song Andy wrote years ago. It's called,
Andy.
It's called Best of Friends.
Oh, yes.
And it kind of sums up how we feel about it. When people come to see us, we're tickled that they just came to see us.
Absolutely.
And when y'all have us on the show, we're tickled y'all had us on the show. So this kind of sums up all those feelings in one little song. It's called Best of Friends.
So 30 years in one song.
30 years of us.
30 years. Okay, here we go.
How's that? Yeah.
It's a bunch.
Yeah.
That's a bunch.
There you go. It's a three with a zero.
Okay. Yep. Best of Friends. Here they are.
The sun is slowly sinking now, the shadows growing long. We'd like to stay around a while and sing another song. But we know even best of friends must sometimes be apart, and we'll always keep your memory in our hearts. One day soon, I know we'll meet to sing our songs again. It seems so close to paradise, just being with your friends. And we know even best of friends will sometimes be apart, and we'll always keep your memory in our hearts.
Well, great moments in Three on a String, Rick and Bubba history. It was Gadsden, Alabama. A small brick cube building way in the back of the parking lot. And we watched as Three on a String played Pantsless Good Old Boys Theater.
Yep.
And to see Bobby playing the banjo with his pants down was unbelievable. It's just a poignant moment that we'll never forget.
There's video somewhere.
Another moment, Fat Fest. I forget the year, 19-something. 1999, see. 1999, and we needed a segue between the Naked Cowboy and Kevin Derryberry. Yeah. Who steps in?
The amazing three on the string. Thank you, three.
Some and say those save are
just
the day.
Those are just a couple of moments from the Rick and Bubba Three on a String history.
Thank you, three.
Yep.
Take it away, Andy.
And now it's time to say goodbye. We wish that we could stay, but memories remain with us until another day.
Y'all sing with.
And we know even best of friends must sometimes be apart. We'll always keep your memory in our hearts. Yes, we'll always keep your memory in our hearts.
So earlier in the show, we talked about Tiger Woods, and we were wondering if it was Vern Lundquist behind the tree. We can now confirm.
It became a mystery.
Yeah, we can now confirm that it is.
Yeah, and we have footage. If you see here, Rick, this is video from the other side of the tree, and that is him being greeted and having a handshake with Vern. So the mystery hand was Vern. There's the cane.
Yeah.
There's the ring. That is the final.
So, Helmsy.
Mystery solved, folks.
Yep, so that means that was his watch.
Yeah, thank you for that reminder.
It's probably some collector's watch.
Probably is.
Know him. He's been around. He's no telling what
he's got. There were so many great.
Tiger may give it to him. Who knows?
There were so many great stories on all broadcasts. I think the Masters coverage was on probably six different venues this weekend.
Yeah, it was.
And so every bit of it was about Vern. And there was great stories. He's a great storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
So that was great. And then they not only talked about the Masters, but everything that he's covered from the Christian Leitner, Duke, shot.
Some of the stuff from the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know if you know. He mentioned Rick and Bubba. I don't know if y'all know that.
And did that watch? Did that watch have JSU on it? It looked like it.
See,
did.
This. I was trying to get away from that, Rick. I've stirred enough trouble up this morning.
That was so good. So there it is. It's so there's no more discussion.
I do find it interesting that he was there in that moment. I guess he hasn't. At that point, Tiger teed off early, so Vern probably wasn't in the booth at that moment.
Yeah.
He hadn't made his way up.
No, you're probably right. Yeah.
So that's probably why.
Also, a lot of big events over the weekend yet to cover. One of those is that Ruby Adler turned four. A lot of people are talking about it. It was the social event of the year.
Yes.
And so, Adler, how did that go?
It was great. I got to give a shout out to Fun Source.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They've been with us for years. Job.
I've heard over the last decade, you guys have had the Fun Source people out, and I was like, now I'm in that zone. I got to try. Yeah. So I reached out, and thank you guys so much at Fun Source. They actually they had a truck go down on them that day, so they had to, and they've got these blow up bounce houses going everywhere across
the
state,
all over
the
world.
And they had a truck go down on them, so they actually had to rent a truck to get us the bounce house. I don't think the barn at Shady Lane wants me to show this picture. I don't think Fun Source wants me to show this picture.
Okay.
Because the barn at Shady Lane, they're used to high class,
right,
you know, big events like that. And Fun Source, they're probably not used to their bounce houses being up in the rafters of a place.
Uh-oh.
Y'all, we cut it so close.
Oh, my goodness.
On this thing. Look at this. I mean,
Adler,
wow.
What are you doing?
Adler, you are going after a dragon, it looks like.
So what I'm doing is, it was a princess castle party.
Are you riding the
dragon? And I'm riding a dragon, guys. So I walked around with this big inflatable dragon on for pretty much the whole party.
Nice.
Well, that's your legs. I see now.
Yeah, yeah. So look, like, it's got fake legs, so it looks like I'm a tiny man riding on a dragon. And it
that's
is
funny.
The kids loved it.
It is.
The kids loved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to DJ weddings.
Maybe you heard about
it. You heard about the parties that I used to throw down.
Right, yeah.
But so I still have all my DJ gear still. So I was able to bust that out for the first time in a long time, and that was great. Didn't have to pay for the venue, didn't have to pay for the DJ gear, didn't have to pay for the bounce house. So that increased my dragon budget.
Oh yeah.
So my dragon costume was actually one of two dragon costumes that I had for the party.
That right there.
This was the top half of my body was exposed in this dragon costume. So I was able to have conversations with people and talk to people. And as all the kids came in, I would say to them, "Now this is a nice dragon. Hopefully we don't see any grumpy dragons around here. Let me know if you see any grumpy dragons."
You could terrify these kids.
So that was foreshadowing for all the kids about the grumpy dragon that was going to come later.
But these are kids are four.
I had inflatable swords for them to then slay the grumpy dragon.
Okay.
So that was the whole thing. And I was kind of trying to wink at the parents, too, to let them know, like, hey, there's going to be a grumpy dragon later. And
I hope you have pictures.
How did it feel to be the tallest dragon person in the room?
It was really nice. Right, I felt powerful.
Yeah.
Do y'all want to hear the grumpy dragon?
Hear it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There's sound with it.
So I
are you the grumpy dragon?
I recorded a little action here for that. Here's just the audio, and y'all can make fun of it. And it is the Game of Thrones intro, so I'm gonna play just the sound. I needed the sound of it. That's hopefully they don't know the show.
Okay.
But here is what I played at a certain point, and I had my dad help me out. Here's just the audio, and then I'll show you guys the video of what happened.
So this is the noise that comes with
it? Yeah, this is just the audio.
Okay.
Hello, boys and girls. Thanks for coming to Ruby's birthday party. Hope you're having fun. We saw a nice dragon earlier, but I think the grumpy dragon is waking up and coming out of his cave. And that was my cue. So, all right, so you guys get the idea of what
I
did.
Yeah, we do. I'm terrified.
So you guys get the idea of what I did. At this point, my wife is a nervous wreck. She's like, please don't do
and
this.
And she should be.
Please don't do this. I'm like, I'm doing the
She's
dragon.
She's the only one that's thinking clearly.
Do you feel like kids could just, like, go nuts and start running everywhere?
The kids are going to love it, is what I said.
Okay.
And so I was like, I'm doing the Grumpy Dragon. I don't care what anybody says. And so here I'm coming out. You got to know, my dad was helping me. I'm like, okay, when Don't Worry, Be Happy ends, that was the song I had
don't
before.
Don't Worry, Be Happy. You're setting them up.
Well, Don't Worry, Be Happy is playing. I'm in the caterer's shed trying to get into this costume, and it's like, you know, the whole Don't Worry, Be Happy thing.
Yeah. Very familiar.
And the zipper is stuck, and the Game of
you
Thrones
didn't do a run
thing.
Through?
I did it once at my house, but now I'm in the shed. Okay. And I'm panicking. The zipper is stuck. I'm like, what am I going to do? But luck, it's like, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I'm like, I'm worried
and
right
now. I'm
not now.
Happy.
If this Game of Thrones intro comes on and I don't have this dragon costume inflated, I'm in trouble.
So you go from Don't Worry, Be Happy to be terrified?
Do, 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 do. All right, so here is the moment of
kind of sick, twisted of truth. Setup is
y'all,
this?
It was great. The kids loved it. It was awesome. Here comes the dragon!
Look, this little girl's terrified.
She was scared. She was more scared than I wanted her to be. But it ended up being good. And I'm going to pause it.
Oh. Yeah, here comes the grumpy dragon!
Look, these kids are terrified. They're screaming.
That's fun screams, I think.
They're terrified. Oh, they didn't sleep.
One's trying to slay the dragon. Yeah,
that's what I wanted. So
you didn't want this kid that's crying. You didn't want that.
I wanted them to hit me with the inflatable swords that I provided.
Did you see the kid crying?
And I've got
who's going to hit the concrete?
Yep.
Yes, I was worried about that.
I wish somebody was filming Aaron.
I'm
going to
pause Aaron right here, the face palm of the century.
Yeah, oh, look at Aaron.
Aaron is just,
Why should she be in this situation? It's her daughter's birthday.
It was a hit, y'all. Yeah. It was a huge hit. I mean, everybody loved it.
So was Aaron embarrassed?
Yes.
Yes, clearly. Very, very embarrassed. But the kids did love it. I will say that.
Isn't she used to that by now?
You would think. So here's the other angle, and y'all, it was great. Kids loved it. Parents loved it.
The kids
got to vanquish me. I almost hit a kid right here. You're going to see.
Yeah.
I almost hit this kid right there.
Yeah, you did.
That could have been bad. I didn't take him out. They took me out. There we go.
Did you practice falling down? Can you even fall down in that costume?
I just leave.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I've got cues in the song for myself. Away, Grumpy Dragon! And then you can hear I go, thanks, kids.
Now they're chasing you into the street.
So it was great. Both of my grandmas came. It was awesome.
You even had elderly people that could have gone into cardiac arrest.
No, it was great. Everybody loved it.
All right.
Kids were raving about it.
All right, Bubba and I have got a pointer or two for you when we come back because you have done something that we've been guilty of. We want to caution you about it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, too much.
Yes.
Yeah. It was too much.
Yeah.
Rick and Bubba.
All right, so Adler just, Bubba, we watched it.
And we saw it for ourselves.
The bar he just set, yes, there were some kids traumatized. Yes, there were parents.
There were a few running for cover.
You're going to
have that.
Yes, there is a wife that cannot believe what she saw.
Yeah, we saw her covering her face.
Yes.
That's called a face palm, I think. That's called a face palm.
Was she embarrassed? Was she crying? What was the emotion?
There was a lot of emotion there.
She was embarrassed, but she was also just filled with pride. You know, it's like it's a common, it's a duality of emotions. Yeah. And so it's like embarrassed pride, I think, is what
did
it is.
Did she feel the need to run?
Yes.
She almost did, yes. I think.
Back to her home.
But yeah, I mean, I felt that way at times, just run. And I know probably Speedy today, but I mean, you just want to run.
Yeah. Greg, I hate that. I know y'all were tending to something that had to be dealt with. You missed the following line from Adler. I got a costume to make me look like I was a tiny man riding a dragon.
Yeah.
What?
But you can't beat
mission
that.
Accomplished.
Yeah. And of course, people are texting going, well, Adler is a tiny man.
I didn't need the costume.
Right.
I'd like to see you bring that out every now and then.
There it is.
Here I am riding the dragon. So that was the nice dragon.
That's hilarious.
I wore the nice dragon outfit the whole time. And then I told the kids, hey, keep an eye out for a grumpy dragon coming around.
Did you borrow that costume from UAB?
Oh, I should have.
He looked a little blazy.
Yeah. I got this dragon costume, y'all. It was I got it for $19 on Amazon.
Watch out!
Because
that's why the zipper didn't work.
I found the adult size was $39, but the child size.
No, unbelievable.
The child
that's
size
not true.
Was $19.
Are you serious? Thank you. We would have never known
that to yourself.
I saw that the height recommendation was like something to up to 4'9", and I was like, close enough.
Yeah, I'm almost.
I can crouch. I'm saving $20.
I agree, and so here I am
in the grumpy dragon.
Oh, that's Blaze. That is Blaze from you. Oh, that looks like kid just hit him.
Yeah, I'll get to hit you.
That was the point.
Oh.
So I was like, on the recording, I was like, help me get rid of the grumpy dragon, kids.
He really
did an intro and everything.
Yeah.
Here come the kids.
Please just assaulted and everything. It was great.
You missed the ones that were running for cover to the
crying.
I bet.
Yeah.
Some were screaming and crying. Some were. Yeah, that's true.
So that's you.
That's
me. Look, he's doing his arms.
And then I ran away. They got me.
So, Adler, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Oh, Adler.
You now have
the grumpy dragon.
I'm the grumpy dragon.
you now have set a precedent at only 4 years of life.
Yeah,
so many more birthday parties left for not only Ruby but Ezra, and now you've said it. I remember when I made this same mistake, Bubba. I remember your words of wisdom. We talked to Fun Source and it got out of hand. Do you remember? This is when Brooks or Brody. I can't. It might have been Brooks. They were three or four. And we set up, we just told, Fun Source was this when they were establishing the relationship with us. So they brought more than we had even asked for.
Oh, boy.
And basically turned our backyard into the state fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to live up to that every year.
And so when it was over, Bubba looked at me and he said, the only way to match this now is we'll have to book the Wiggles.
poke salad. Yummy. That wasn't poke salad. Yeah.
And think about what a downer it was.
Mashed potato.
If next year it's just not a carnival.
With Sleepy Jeff.
Yeah. No Ferris wheel? What's the deal?
Right. So now you've set this precedent.
Live animals?
Way too high.
It was, we did a lot. But this was our first time to invite more than just family. So I was like, all right, whatever. She's turning four. We'll go over the top. And then other times we can do other things.
Now, I will say
Had it at the barn. You had this. You had live action. Whoa, I mean, it was
incredible.
This was as close to Disney World as you get without being in Florida.
I agree with that.
For some reason, when my kids are growing up, Lisa came up with a rule when they got double digits, that was your last over the top birthday. Because you remember them, Rick.
Oh, my God.
We had horses. Oh, we had
horses.
I mean, ponies. We had ponies.
Ponies.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
It's crazy stuff.
And again, Wacky the Clown two or three times.
Burgesses just go all out on birthdays.
But once they turned
so
10, after that, it was just regular birthdays. Yeah. But for some reason, she came up to 10.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous every year.
It's so amazing there at the barn where you had it. So Sherry and Brody did their dance right where the inflatable is.
I don't think the barn at Shady Lane or Fun Source want me to keep showing this picture because I don't think you're supposed to have bounce houses up in the rafters. It just kept going up. The Fun Source people are inflating. I'm like, it's just still going higher and higher. It's in the rafters.
It was a good idea, though, with the wind that we had early part of the weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, that thing would have been airborne somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
By the
sure.
way, where we live, what a beautiful weekend.
In the next county.
Wow, the weekend.
Yeah, you might have found that thing in Georgia.
Yeah, screaming at him. Mm-hmm.
Greg, do you want to hear it again? I thought it was pretty good radio to play the Ruby the Dragon intro thing. All right, here it is. So, this is what went over the intercom. Yes, Speedy. Yes, you just missed this. We just played it last
segment.
Game
of Thrones.
We're doing it again.
Well, Greg, should you play Game of Thrones
Hello,
for 4 years?
Boys and girls.
Probably not.
Thanks for coming to Ruby's birthday party. Hope you're having fun. We saw a nice dragon earlier, but I think the grumpy dragon is waking up and coming out of his cave.
No way! Wait a minute.
Really?
And then here you come.
Yeah, and then I came out, and then I had like cues.
That is so
and so I wanted
funny.
This whole thing to last only 1 minute and
That's
45
so
seconds, and then we went straight into Let It Go. So the girls got to dance.
Sure.
And I got out of the dragon costume, came back in. Ruby's dancing to Let It Go, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, one day I'm gonna have to let her go.
But listen to this, Adler. You almost did Ezra's 4-year-old birthday party for your daughter.
See, I did a lot of stuff for me. I had like inflatable swords.
I was thinking
because
I had
these
dragons.
Are girls.
Yeah.
These are girls.
But I had guys friends that were supposed to bring their boys.
Right.
So I wanted to boy it up a little bit,
okay,
too. For, so I did some stuff for the boys.
That's
of course,
great.
My friends like canceled on me like that morning, so that hurt a lot.
That happens.
Oh, that yeah. hurt
hey,
a lot.
It yeah. became real to them.
Yeah. Right.
That was pretty good production.
Big production.
That's for me, boys and girls. I'm the Grumpy Dragon.
Happy birthday, Ruby Adler. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
As you all know, everybody on this show, really, except for Adler, has a direct tie to Jacksonville State University, either as graduates, coaches, your dad coach there. I mean, we got every kind of connection you can think of to Jacksonville State University. Bubba and I started our radio career at the campus radio station there. So anything Jack State, we usually will update you on, especially when it comes to national champions.
Rick, the women's bowling team over the weekend won the national championship.
Well,
how about that?
How about that?
Huh?
Greg?
Yes, sir.
And, how about the bowling has really gotten to be a big
yes,
deal?
Yes, I'm telling you.
All the sports have really taken off, and bowling is one of them. I mean, they got a crowd there. They edged out teams like Sam Houston, Arkansas State, Youngstown State. Do they have like a Final Four too? Is
they
it
do.
Like the whole thing?
They do. And most of the teams, I think all the Final Four teams were from Conference USA.
Wow.
Conference USA has, and they have teams that play other sports in different conferences. So like Vanderbilt and Tulane. And Stephen F. Austin and Arkansas State, they're in different conferences with all their other sports, but they're in Conference USA with bowling. And so congratulations to Shannon O'Keefe and her husband, Brian, who's also one of the coaches. And it's just
and
a fascinating.
They're the best. I mean, they are the best.
It's a
right?
very fascinating story. So I remember, I guess last year, the athletic director and I were talking, and Greg Seitz, everybody here is good friends with Greg, and Greg said, hey.
He's a visionary, by the way.
He said, hey, just hired a bowling coach, and they're going to probably win us our first national championship. And I said, Greg, that's a step out. Like, what are we talking about? And he goes, no, seriously. He said, they're that good. And so she was coaching somewhere else, brought all these girls back with her, and I was thinking about this yesterday. Everybody has talked about them winning the national title since they stepped foot in Jacksonville, Alabama. It's been a foregone conclusion.
How about that?
So to have the pressure of that and go through the entire season and dominate and then pull it off,
I think number one.
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's pretty impressive.
It's impressive.
These girls are so good at bowling, I cannot believe it. They are just knocking
these
them down.
These ladies can knock down the pins.
Wow.
Raise your hand if you wish you were better at bowling.
They are so much better at me than me at bowling. This is unbelievable.
I can't be consistent. I have moments where it looked like I could bowl, but I can't be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing my arm right because they do this follow-through thing. Yeah.
Do you know where they practice and play out of every day?
I would like to know.
Big Time Entertainment.
Okay.
How about that?
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Wow. So
that's their home.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Well, that's
where
they practice.
Your home lanes.
Yeah. Yeah, home lanes. Nice.
I sat with the O'Keefes at our red tie event, and I was asking these questions like, you know, is it an advantage, disadvantage that you don't have a bowling alley here on campus? And she goes, oh, we need one here. And a lot of schools do is they will set it up so that the university and the kids can use it like as an rec, but then that's their home bowling alley.
Ooh,
and so
maybe that
you got to have so many
lanes
to host and all that. So I don't really know how it works, but it's fascinating.
Maybe they could build one and tie it into the indoor court.
Well, that'd be great.
Listen to this.
I like that, Bubba.
The Bill Bubba Bussy Bowling Arena.
Ooh.
By the Bees Flow.
Yes.
By the Bees Flow. My gosh.
Yeah. Y'all got me sponsoring a lot of stuff,
yes,
I noticed.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's all sponsored.
Well, that's it.
But
that's,
you know what? Look, here's the bottom line. Congratulations to the ladies and the team and the coach. And but, you know, when you can win a national championship at Division I in anything, you've accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So, congratulations. Hey, staying cocky. Let's go.
And, that's it.
And how about if you have the coach and the players, you can win at any level.
And an indirect congratulations to Mickey Shadricks.
Big time
entertainment.
That's right.
Oh, buddy, for win for
once,
them.
Once again, the visionary put it together.
That's right.
So the lady that Shannon is one of the greatest bowlers of our time. And that's what's crazy. She was a professional bowler, and her husband was her coach.
How about that?
And so they're just an, it's interesting to see them at work together every day and all that. And he's kind of a – he doesn't like to be in the forefront. He's behind the scenes. I don't know how that would work in my life, but he seems to handle it very well as far as that goes.
How do you – what does a practice look like if you're on the bowling team?
A lot of pins flying. A lot of pins flying.
Well, you know what I mean? How do they – I mean – you know, we – even in – our, you know, in football or basketball or baseball, something we're a little more familiar with, practices vary coach to coach and how they do it. But I kind of know what it looks like.
Like, for instance, like when we go bowl, our only opportunity is, you know, we'll get these situations where we'll knock 8 or 9 pins down and we got 1 or 2 in a difficult spot.
Yeah.
So to your question, Bubba, I wonder if they have drills where they do the –
do they work on a 9-1 split?
Thank you.
I mean, you know what I mean?
That's a great question.
Set one up.
Do they have drills that's what they do constantly?
I would think you would have like all the lanes going down here. Down here, we're just working on it. We're, you know, we're getting – and down here, the different scenarios are set up. They already have the pins set up. And you go down there and try to do the things you said.
And do you have a lot of conditioning? Do you have to work on your arms? I mean, that's a heavy ball to throw. You know,
it is.
I mean, do you have to do weight training?
You do
that.
I think.
I like that kickback.
I think there's definitely
the follow through.
There's definitely strength
and
conditioning.
Don't put the finger in the hole; they just twist it.
If you notice,
let's not say twist. Just spin.
All of the good ones.
Get back to your corporate America.
Yeah, they bring the ball in at an angle. You know, they don't roll it straight. And I've always wondered about the physics of that.
I've always been a straight shooter when it comes to that.
Well, I don't have a wrist strong enough to do that spin. I mean, I'm just glad not to fall down the lane. You know,
you got to cradle it.
Probably 3 times in my whole life.
And rip it.
But coming in at an angle apparently is better than straight on.
Straight on will leave you with a split a lot, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that is incredible. Congratulations. Yeah. Gamecocks.
There you go.
J-S-G.
National champion.
There you go. Big.
Where are they going to build that place at?
That's going to be
indoor
tough.
Tennis
court. There's a parking lot right next to the courts currently.
There you go.
Lanes and courts. Here we come.
Quite the controversial character. This is a pastor that planted a church called Mars Hill. It became a super mega church. Then things kind of got out of hand. There was a podcast series that people really got caught up in.
That was a dandy.
Was it called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill?
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark, you know, had some issues, and people have different opinions on Mark Driscoll one way or the other.
We had him on the show years and years ago.
When he wrote his marriage book, which also became a little controversial because he pulled no punches on that one.
He sure did.
But anyway.
Real graphic.
Yeah. So anyway, and he is Mark – has, and he's been very effective, but Mark does come from the "I'm coming in here to shock you" world. He loves to be shocking, and he's been very good at that. Well, I didn't even know that he was even back speaking places. I know that he did go back to being a pastor again after the Mars Hill deal. Yeah. I'm not familiar with this men's conference at all. Apparently, it was in Missouri. I'm also not familiar with the other pastor that is hosting it. That would be John Lindell. But anyway, and I will say this, with what we do with themanchurch.com, I too am not a huge fan of things at men's conferences that I think are silly, campy, and not necessary.
Circusy.
I hate the circusy men's conferences. It's not my thing. And of course, when we do conferences, we don't do any of that. We're here to study the Bible. We're here to praise and worship God. And we're here to try to reach you and disciple you. And we don't pull any punches. That's what you're getting into when you come. We're not going to have some of these bells and whistles things that, you know, just like I noticed in the background, they've got some motorcycle up on the screen and all that. I don't like when we start trying to suggest that how to be a man is anything other than being a devout follower of Christ. What Christ calls men to is frankly such a call, most of us aren't man enough to do it. And that's the bottom line. I don't really need to be shown, you know, lumberjacks and people climbing mountains and lifting weights and, you know, and you know, all this. Camo and look, there's a lot of things that men do that I enjoy and I do them, but it doesn't make me a man. As a matter of fact, I know some really strong, by the world standard, tough men that, you know, served in special forces and can, you know, run for miles on end, can kill people with their bare hands. They hunt, they fish, they climb mountains, and they're not worth a dime spiritually. It doesn't make them a man of God at all. Now, are those things bad? No. If they're under the authority of Christ, they're fine. But they don't make you a man. But anyway, I digress. So it looked like something along those lines. Well, for some reason, and I don't understand why, I want to clarify this. So I don't think this is a literal Meryl Stripper. I think what you had is a guy doing feats of strength on a pole, and he took his shirt off.
Yeah, I was going to say shirtless.
Now, do I think this presentation was appropriate for a men's conference? I do not. Is he a stripper? He is not. But everybody keeps saying that they actually brought out a male stripper, from what I can gather. So
that's a stripper move there.
Yeah, and well, and Driscoll does his thing where
he's
says
pretty strong. I think
he is very strong.
It had a Magic Mike look to it.
It does. It
yes.
Let me be clear. This presentation is completely inappropriate.
Yep.
I don't care who it is. Mm-hmm. However, and you've heard us talk about this a lot on the show about Matthew 18. John Lindell, when Mark Driscoll had his time on the stage, he began to call out the conference and the presentation as completely inappropriate and inviting the spirit of Jezebel into the conference. And he really, really goes off on that. Where you're going to hear John Lindell, he calls out, "This is not appropriate, Mark. You didn't come to me about this." And we find out later, he said, "I had a conversation with Mark for 30 minutes, and he never mentioned his disgust with this." And so John Lindell says, "I'm taking issue with the way you're handling it, not what you're saying. That conversation should have been with me, and then I would decide if I was going to let you go out there or not. But you could have come to me and said, 'John, what you're doing is inappropriate,' which I would agree with. What Mark's saying, I agree with. The way he went about it, John Lindell said, this is not what the scriptures tell us to do."
You know, inappropriate, just bizarre.
Yeah,
you know,
it really is just bizarre.
I mean, we've seen things at other things, and we've been at some that had, you know, other things going on, but I don't know. It was just kind of weird.
Well,
looking,
yeah, know? There's some things, like you said, Bubba, that you look at and go, well, this is kind of silly and campy.
Yeah.
This is weird. I mean, this is, if I was a man in the audience, I'd be like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And
so uncomfortable.
The setup alone, it looks like it took some setup.
Yeah.
So I don't know that surprised anybody. Well,
what you're going to hear is you're going to hear Driscoll take issue.
Yeah.
And then you're going to hear John Lindell say, "Hey, Mark, this is not appropriate to do it this way." And he says, "I received that," and he walks off the stage.
Yeah.
And then John comes out and said, "Let me tell you why I said that. He should have come to me first." And by the way, that is true.
Yeah.
So I understand both men's point of view here.
Now, do I have to watch this?
You will be so uncomfortable. This is,
what have I done wrong?
I can't imagine you being in this crowd.
Yeah. Okay.
Look at the front row. Check the front row out.
Yeah, the front row's got quite a view. Guy kind of looks like Speedy. He's got a shaved head.
Yeah.
He's jacked.
By the way, don't miss, though, when Driscoll makes his point and John Lindell takes over, the crowd goes after John Lindell.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
All right, so here we go.
Oh, no.
But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you.
It's Magic Mike. You're right, Helms.
And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the Word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
here and say, you're done.
You're done. So, here's the crowd. And then John's coming up to talk.
See the motorcycle in the background? I think that's so corny.
All right.
Crowd. Speedy, you okay?
No, I'm a wreck.
Well, they're mad.
He said Mark is out of line.
Go to him privately. I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word of that. He's out of line. If he wanted to say it, he could say it to me. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with him. But we are brothers in Christ.
So you see that.
What? But that is.
Wow. Wow.
Right, now, I didn't catch this the first time I watched it. You see Driscoll try to get around Matthew 18 by saying, this is not a rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a correction. Yeah. It's an observation. He tried to get around it. But John Lindell,
I'd like
said
to know when they, when he said we spoke for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. was that, because it sounds like they, that opened the event, then he, and then the next morning. So Mark, did they talk that night, that morning? Like, I'd like to know some more details.
It's clear that Mark was speaking on Saturday, and this had happened on Friday night. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm like you. I don't know when that conversation took place.
Speedy, you look good. You got some good moves, buddy.
You okay? I'm a mess.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
I just want to make sure I got all the bases touched here, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we have Friday night, we think. We have.
No, I feel almost 100%
okay.
sure about
that. We have the gentleman come out and, I guess, illustrate.
Says how, it opened the conference.
How strong.
You mean the spirit of Jezebel?
Yeah, thank you, Bubba.
Feet of strength kind of thing, like how strong
there are so
he
many
is.
Other ways you could show that.
I don't know how anybody ever got in a meeting, watched this guy's act, and said, let's start the conference with that.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, the
where
setup,
did they first see
the setup alone, somebody would have to have said, "What now, what's this for?
Now,
he starts off by peeling his shirt off one button at a time, right. And then he sashays around the pole. Yeah. I mean, the whole.
What happened to just tearing up a phone book?
Yeah,
but anyway, so that happens. Then the next morning, it's addressed.
Where's the power team? My goodness. Can we just bring in the power team?
They always
had
the strength.
Was it a different day that he had?
Yes. That's what it was.
Because listen to what Driscoll said. He said, I couldn't sleep last night.
Worried about
this.
He did.
And I'm hoarse because I've been praying all night against this.
Right. So he says that, but then the pastor comes out and takes issue with it, saying he never brought that up in our private meetings.
You should have told me privately first.
He surprised me with this on stage.
Correct.
And when Driscoll walks off, who shouted what? I couldn't hear.
That's the audience. John Lindell said to him, this is inappropriate, Mark.
That's who was hollering.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the audience did not like Lindell kicking Driscoll off the stage, so he tries to address that. Because, look, we've all been part of so many. I guarantee you that you come in on Friday night. This is a standard men's conference format. You come in on Friday night, there's speakers and there's praise and worship and apparently a stripper. Not a stripper, but I mean, it did look like that.
Magic Mike was there.
Whatever. Yeah. On Friday night, they kicked it off. Look, I went to one time where they had a guy kick off a conference and he was standing on a bunch of boxes. I mean, it was a little bit strange. I did, but he had all his clothes on and all that.
He was just standing on
what
boxes.
What was he doing on boxes?
Did he fall through? He would stack up chairs. That's what it was, in boxes, ballots. And stand on them.
Oh, balance.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, like Bubba said, and he's the same way. I'm not. Well, don't let me speak for you, but it sounds like
he swallowed a sword.
I don't like turning it into a circus. I mean, I don't need bellow. I mean, let's get down to why we're here. All that stuff is.
Where was the unicycle and plates being spun?
Yeah, yeah. What's that
lady?
Asian lady this all game.
Well, even if you go into the little off of the message entertainment.
Sure. Do something appropriate.
That was a bit odd.
No, the whole thing.
The whole thing was odd, okay?
Yeah, you can come up to somebody and say, "Hey Rick, I know that axe throwing and
chainsaw
stuff."
And he did eventually swallow a sword.
Hey, 3-on-3 basketball, motorcycles. That's not your thing. Or we've got, an archery guy. And that may not be your thing, but there's nothing inappropriate about that.
No.
That may just not be the way you do it. This doesn't pass any test. Mm. I mean,
I've always liked the eras people shooting aspirin, with their bow.
But what I'm talking about, if you're even we want there to be some sort of entertainment at our men's conference, how does this pass anybody's test? People have different ways they want to do conferences, and that's fine.
No.
But this is this one doesn't pass a test of any kind.
No, no, Rick, I start off by taking my shirt off.
He does. Greg, you nailed it. He slowly unbuttons his shirt. His leather
and watch his sachet around the pole.
He sachets. He sachets.
Look at this. Here he
comes. This move hurts a lot. That's it. That move hurts a lot right there.
Let me say where the disappointment is. And this is
now he's strong.
This is why men's ministry is so important right now and doing it biblically. Those men, none of them stood. Mark Driscoll should have never had to say one thing.
Yeah.
Those men in the audience and every pastor that was there should have stood up and says, this cannot go on. This cannot continue. I'm sorry. Y'all might have meant well by this. We cannot sit here and allow this to take place.
That's what I was about to try to
ask. And just object. Just completely object.
So somebody get Channing Tatum out of here.
You're probably sitting there somewhat stunned at what you're seeing.
You're right.
And you're thinking, well, how are they going to bring this home? Right. You know, and you kind of wait for the big finale to go.
I guess that was my shock, is that maybe Friday post, there wasn't a statement, or Friday or Saturday morning before Driscoll ever goes up, it's addressed. But he's the first one to mention it.
It looks like one of those things where somebody messed up, and like you had a booking agent that books both acts, and they sent each act to the wrong place.
You're right. No, that's you're right.
You weren't supposed to go to that.
But I think the shock factor is right. Like I have,
and there's a stage somewhere where somebody's preaching.
Right. Exactly. You're right. There's some guy going, "What am I doing?"
Or breaking baseball bats.
But he looks up, and there's a pastor somewhere at Cirque du Soleil going, "What am I doing?"
There's a pastor at a bachelorette party.
Right. Yeah. But anyway,
there's people holding up dollar bills and he's reading out of Luke.
That's so good. But I know a friend of mine that went to some sort of men's gathering.
Oh, me.
And he said he was sitting there, and he said there is a shock factor. Now, he left, but he says, I was in such shock, I look back, I probably should have said something. He said, all of a sudden, when the main speaker starts dropping F-bombs.
Rick.
And he said, I'm sitting there, and the first time he did it, I'm like,
what?
Did he just? And the guy starts, and then he starts. Well, I won't go into it, but he starts saying things that are very lewd, and starts tying scripture to it, and this guy got up and left, and then he complained.
What about when you?
He sent a complaint in and everything, but he said there is a moment where you kind of go, "Am I hearing and seeing what I think I am?"
Mm-hmm.
So they may just been in shock.
What about when you invite a celebrity to come and be your guest speaker for the Sunday service, and they start talking about magic crystals?
Thank you, Bubba.
Oh boy, I remember that.
Thank you, Bubba.
Good gracious.
Are you having a men's gathering and the speaker, because everybody loves sports, this is when I got away from all this kind of stuff, and the speaker actually says the following, "It's because Jesus doesn't make us fully righteous," to which Andy Blanks whispered to me, "I think that's the gospel." He was trying to talk about sanctification, and he got kind of tripped up.
Yeah.
And so it's – and see, I think the sad part about this is why the men – did not erupt is because I think they put a certain trust into the pastors that put these things together they must know what they're doing.
I think if I would have been sitting there, I would be like, this is odd, but how are they going to bring this home?
Yeah.
And then it never came home.
No, it didn't.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba, over the weekend, I found myself in an interesting situation. I know we all were going. Beautiful weekend. Hopefully everybody got to enjoy some time. And so one of the things, and this is pretty common, what local churches do this, you know, they have days set aside that they call them serve days or whatever like that, and all the different small groups within the church, you know, get assigned something to do to be the hands and feet of Jesus or whatever. And so one of the things that, you know, Sherry and I lead a class, we wanted to do as a class, and it is – you know, it's funny because it's one of those things that is so elementary that we were told to do, but it's probably one of the things that we struggle to do the most, and that is to talk to people about Jesus,
right?
To share the gospel, to be disciples and make disciples. It's one of the most clearest commandments we were given, not suggestion, but it's one of the things you're really the most uncomfortable about. You know, it can be socially awkward and all that. So a lot of people, it's a daunting task. And certainly is. I don't think you ever really get to the point where you're not a little bit nervous about it. And so Sherry was talking, and she went, and we asked and said, well, could we just go and do door-to-door in the part the city y'all assigned us to, but instead of like a building project or picking up trash, whatever, we're going to go door-to-door and invite people to church and talk to them about Jesus.
So that immediately, you know, put fear all over the entire class of everybody like, oh, wow. And so, but, you know, here's the thing. Most of this, and I'm just being transparent, certainly we get chances to do that interacting with people in our daily lives. But the door-to-door thing, most of that that I have participated in is somewhere else in the world, not my own country, not my own city.
Right.
Well, you know, a lot of things have changed over the years involving the people coming to your door. And these Ring things are now pretty standard, the Ring cameras.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you realize they've got you. I mean, because everybody can look at you, and it's really hard to get anybody to come to the door if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself in an ironic situation.
Now, did y'all ride box?
Well,
your backpack.
Stay with me here, okay?
Bubba.
I'm not making this up. I think that I may have been able to, on behalf of all of us that have become part of the church under the new covenant, I may have been able to get a little bit of a payback for us, okay?
Hmm.
You know, us, your basic evangelicals, we aren't really known for our door-to-door. Maybe that's sad, you know, but there's some groups that are known for it.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couple.
And so we, number one, I didn't know people that I knew that lived in the neighborhood that kept texting me us on their Ring camera while they were somewhere else, like at the lake or whatever, going, what are y'all doing at my house?
Right.
That was funny.
Yep.
So then comes
case in the blood.
Did they answer you through the phone, Ring?
They did not me, but we had other groups that went out, and they said they actually shared the gospel with people through the Ring camera while they were somewhere else in the country, or one was another part of the world. So I thought, well, there's the good side of it.
Yeah. Technology.
But the bottom line is everybody knows you're out there. I don't remember a door that didn't have one. Not one.
No.
Okay. And so
they do come in handy.
Yeah.
I've had to respond.
Oh, they are.
I got a Simply Safe doorbell camera.
Oh, it's great.
And I've talked on it before.
It's great. But it really, this door-to-door stuff has met a new match, and it's called the Ring camera.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And if you fall down the stairs, they'll have it on there and show everybody.
Yes. On the most ironic moment of the day. So we were at a house, like they were huge Bama fans. Okay.
Tide.
A lot of Tide.
They read A-Day.
The door opens up. Okay. And of course, you know, we're trying to also train people that have never done this before that say, I'm not comfortable with this. We gave you some ideas, some things to start the conversation. And one of them is we're here with whatever church and we're just going door to door. We're praying all over your neighborhood. You know, are you part of a church? And it happened. We're Latter-day Saints. And I thought to myself, how do you like this?
You
like
a little
that.
Flip around.
How do you like this? What do you think about some Baptists out here on the door? How's this feel?
And we didn't ride a 10-speed.
Right.
Same effect.
Didn't have a button down on.
No.
But there was a moment when I had never experienced this. It was the reverse. I was on the doorstep of a Latter-day Saint.
If you can just get a Jehovah Witness, we've got it.
I know, and I kept thinking, if we can hit a Jehovah Witness in this, guys, it felt, and it was interesting, our conversation. So we began to talk. By the way, they were also big Birmingham Bull fans.
Little hockey.
But even though we like what we do for a living, it is public, so it is sometimes harder to be covert. Sometimes people, when they see us, because once we got on TV and now this, you know, people more visual. Now, there was a time if you did radio, people didn't necessarily recognize you.
Right.
But now, with the YouTube and the days of Turner South and all that, sometimes when people, when they see any of us, they know who we are on site. So that became one of those things where somebody was like, you know, why are you going to everyone? Now they think I'm giving away prizes. And
12 days of Christmas.
In the group, one of the guys says
12 days of spring.
You realize they think they've won that you're going to pay off their mortgage or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, Bubba's clearing house. And Rick's with them. It must be something like that.
I actually had someone who was walking saying, "I'm sorry today. I'm picking St. Thomas over Rick Burgess." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" I thought they were talking about their church. They were going to St. Thomas because we were inviting them to come to our Sunday school class the next day, and all that. So that was funny. But I will say that two things that moment. With Latter-day Saints, did not meet any Jehovah Witnesses.
How about Kirby salesman?
People talking through the rings to people and sharing the gospel, and then just the standard, everybody knows you're there, and that that moment where you realize they're looking at you on camera and they can make the decision whether they're coming or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so that's added a whole new element to the door-to-door whatever you're doing. You know what I mean? To have those Ring cameras.
It and was, you can program a response out of it, or you can be alerted and go live. You know, some of them have pre-programmed results depending on the season or, you know, whatever.
How about this? The funniest was...
Hey, honey. Pull up the phone. I think Rick is standing at our front door.
No, that happened. I had a guy that I knew.
Rick and Bubba's out here.
Yeah, I had a guy, you know, by the way, poor old Benny Rose. He was Bubba several times. Most time Benny will just go with it. But people seriously were sending me text. This video just came to me. I'm at the lake. What are you doing at my house?
Yes.
And I'm like, well, it's a long story. But as usual, you also had those moments that were beautiful, that the Holy Spirit, where people were like, I cannot believe on this day you showed up at my door saying you want to pray with me because of this, this, and this. There was that.
Oh, wow.
You're going to have that. Minutes to the top of the hour. So a couple of updates. So our winner on tax day does not want to be named or on the show, but did win, and we will send them a $100 check. Which they said they would.
Congratulations.
They said they may not cash it. They may just post it to remind them of the government giving them the screws.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that, but, do as you will.
Do as you will. Also, before we get to this thing with the ump that owns us, it was true what I said a minute ago. You know, you remember when we were interviewing, I think it was it Scott McKay? He actually thought that the FISA spying on us deal would go away and expire. He was very optimistic about it, but then he started talking about that the Speaker of the House seemed to be waning a little bit, and the Republicans did wane, not all of them, but enough of them. So they have reauthorized the FISA
without change.
So it will not expire, so we will be continued to be able to be spied upon by the government, even if they just deem us, apparently, to be a political opponent of theirs. So I think this was a setback for freedom and liberty, and I disagree with all who crumbled on this.
I'm confused why so many people who thought it was abused in the Trump investigation, that they would go back and reauthorize it without changing it significantly.
Right.
I don't know if they got some intelligence briefings and the intelligence community thought that it was absolutely required or what. I don't know, but we do know it's been abused.
No doubt.
And if you haven't changed anything to check that, I don't understand.
Right. Well, those that says that they wanted it to expire, they said, I don't understand. The constitutional liberties of Americans have to come first. We don't suspend the Constitution for anything. It shouldn't be suspended. And he says we allowed liberties to be taken away, and we've learned that once again was something the government abused. I cannot believe we're going to continue this. So very disappointing and disappointed in the Republicans that caved on this, and their constituents will have their say. All right, so now we're down to this thing that owns us.
Well, Angel Hernandez is one of the worst umpires in the major leagues. As a matter of fact, we're all shocked he's still umpiring.
Yes.
There on any given weekend, you can get Angel Hernandez highlights.
Goodness. It's
and Rick, I want you to see the three pitches he threw or was thrown this week that he rung up his strikes. Now, let me tell you, if I'm pitching, this is a guy I want behind the plate. Okay. Let's see the audio. Outside the box.
Whoa.
Strike one.
2-1. And oh my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me!
Look, the picture's like, love me some Angel Hernandez.
World? We've just completely lost it here.
Well, at least it's consistent.
Well, I was going to say, it's like the pitcher kept going a little further
out to see what he could
get away with.
Yeah, it's almost like a dare.
After he rang it, it goes
over the plate, not where the catcher catches it. But you see the catcher moving it back in, framing up the pitch. And, you know, if you just look at the box and the video here, it speaks for itself.
After he rang him up,
the third one especially.
He looks at the batter like, "Yeah, what you want to do?" Look at him, see him look over at him.
He's
the third one was the worst.
It's always been about him.
By far.
It's always been about him.
Yeah. The first one was close. The other two, bad.
But I mean,
the last one was terrible.
Did they not get evaluated and stuff?
Yeah.
These guys make he probably makes upward of $300,000 a year to do this, if not more.
Right,
I think the average is $300,000 and up to $450,000. He's been there long enough. He's probably making upwards of $300,000 a year to do this and miss those kind of calls constantly.
But there's got to be a grading system and some kind of check and balance here. I mean, he's horrible. He's the only umpire we know by name because he has these highlights all the time. Why is he still?
Anybody in the room, name another umpire. Anyone.
Well, this video came from Umpire Auditor. That's like a social media account that posts this kind of stuff. He says that the miss was 6.7 inches outside, and that's the largest miss that they've ever done in the Umpire Auditor history.
Well, at least he's got something.
Look, again, I know when you're dealing with breaking pitches, it can be the optics can be confusing, but that one is not. I mean, it's just, it's like you we're pitching, you work the stair step. If somebody swings at a high pitch, you give them a little higher, and you just keep going up the ladder. He did that to the umpire going outside.
He did.
Well, and there's even been calls like close plays that before we had the review systems that he ruined perfect games and no hitters because of his calls on first. It's
what is
nuts.
His deal?
I mean, I don't know.
Did he have something against this batter? The batter wasn't showing him up. He never said anything to
Bubba,
him.
I have been hearing about Angel Hernandez bad calls
most of the time of this show
for years. And this is the part you guys are asking. Doesn't those who assess umpires, do they not know that he's become the punchline of a joke? I mean, do they not look at the stuff that everybody can see online everywhere? My goodness, there's rolling highlights of missed calls of Angel Hernandez. Do they never get embarrassed and go, this guy shouldn't be out there? Why does he continue to get to do it?
I don't know.
With documented stuff. It's not like he missed one call or, whatever.
There's people out there at the college ranks, in the minor leagues, that aspire to be in this position. Can we not bring one of them up and get rid of this guy?
Don't you want people doing a good job?
Is this the point where we need to take the keys away from him? I mean, it's obvious.
Right, yeah.
That was horrible. I don't see how that guy that he struck out walked away like that.
When
I mean, it looked like the umpire wanted to fight with him. He turned around and
what inning was it in?
I don't know.
What inning was it in?
I don't know.
It may have been one of those things where it was relatively early and he didn't want to. He knows he's got a bat again,
that's true.
If you really want fun today, get you some Angel Hernandez highlight clip.
Yeah, just Google it. A ton of them will come up.
And please read the comments.
You're
please,
amazed.
Please read the comments. All right, so
it looks watch it again, Adler, just for fun.
I don't think it says the inning. Yeah. Oh, wait, top of the fourth.
It's the fourth.
Top of the fourth.
Outside.
Yeah, that guy's got a bat again.
All right, here we go. Outside. Do the announcers read here.
Oh, okay. Two. I'll start over.
Whoa. 2-1. And, oh my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me.
Hey, don't miss this. Base is loaded. Yeah. And he should have walked. And that would have been more runs for the Rangers.
Wow.
It looks real personal to me.
It didn't it?
I mean, when you start doing that with the bases loaded, you have to look at, does he have money on this game? Because that was ridiculous.
Or it's 8-1, and he wants to get the heck out of there.
But this has been going on. This is not isolated.
It's not
new. Yeah. Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba inviting you to be with us tomorrow for a brand new edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show as always. A lot of fun. Former American Idol winner Taylor Hicks will be here and a whole lot more.
All tomorrow on a brand new Rick and Bubba Show. Thanks for listening to the daily best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.